not failed.
This mission will be abandoned only when all six of us are dead.
The master criminal. He lived only for the challenge of high adventure.
Lead your troops into battle. My friend here will kill you.
The demolition demon. He could blow the crystal off a watch, yet still keep it running. The forger. He could duplicate any signature and make it look better than the original.
I can reproduce this stuff in my sleep.
The assassin. He didn't need a war to kill. With him, murder was an instinct. And the girl who gave her flesh and blood, more than her own life, to these heroes from hell. These men, an impossible feat against staggering odds. And no matter what the price, no matter what the punishment, they had to keep their secret at a secret place, at a secret time.
You are about to share every fantastic step of the most daring mass escape ever conceived in the mind of man. Only a madman could plan it.
What the hell is this?
Only desperate men fighting for their lives could follow it. Only a hijacked prison train could blast them on their frenzied dash to freedom. But
investing in America, $20 trillion. No country's ever done anywhere even near that, like a fraction of that. Biden did less than a trillion in 4 years. I did 20 trillion. We're going to do over 17 trillion in 8 months. By the time we end, we could do over $20 trillion. There's never in China, no matter where you go, there's never been.
David Sling marks a technological breakthrough in protecting the country's skies. The system's unique capabilities enable the speedy, rapid destruction of a broad spectrum of current and projected air and missile defense threats, including maneuvering and precise threats from various altitudes or even saturation attacks. Operates day and night. David Sling is a revolutionary hit-to-kill missile system, effective against all threats within the atmosphere, clearing the skies with cutting-edge technology. The system protects a very large region and intercepts threats at a distance with minimum collateral damage. David Sling is currently operational after extensive testing. The system was developed in collaboration with Raytheon and Israeli and American government agencies. The system includes a multi-mission radar, several launchers, each carrying 12 next-generation Stunner missiles, and a battle management center for coordinated and effective operation.
We're going to decree that the coronavirus will cease worldwide. Now, what's going to happen? I don't know if everybody will get healed. I don't know. We're praying. We prayed for vaccines. We prayed for Israel. We've heard they have vaccines. We have people interceding across the face of the earth. Listen, intercessors have been going to Wall Street. I mean, this is all over. I have to tell you, intercessors are on this. I just want to thank you, intercessors of the world. You haven't slept through this. You have been very, very active. And we're going to ask what God will heal those affected. We want comfort for those who have lost family members. We want to especially pray, here we are, if about Seattle area, because we know that there's more deaths going on there. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, you have promised.
What he says is a secret Chinese plan that has brought thousands of intelligence officers into the United States with the goal of enlisting thousands of more recruits inside the country. That's according to a bombshell new report. They state here that the plan only grew more active in President Barack Obama's second term, is continuing to this day, according to the Washington Free Beacon. They write here that the wealthy dissident real estate tycoon Gua Wengui told the Free Beacon in an interview that in the past 5 years, China has infiltrated 25,000 intelligence officers into the United States, who now have an estimated 15,000 agents working inside the country. So if that's true, it would mean that 40,000 human weapons, military weapons, are living inside the United States, just waiting for the moment that Beijing chooses to rise against the American government. They're right here.
Heroin. It's the reason you put bars on your windows. The reason you've got a big dog. Heroin. Heroin. Why nobody feels safe. Heroin. Get the pusher off your block, out of your life. If you know a license plate number, a street corner, a description, anything specific, call the National Heroin Hotline, 800-368-5363. It's a free call from anywhere in the country, and you don't have to give any information about yourself.
Today's topic is scabies. Scabies is a transmittable skin disease characterized by relentless itching and an angry rash. The itching and rash associated with scabies are as a result of the body's allergic reaction to the mites, their waste, and their eggs. It is highly contagious and can spread very easily from person to person. The mode of transmission is through a close skin contact with an infected person, such as sexual contact among sexually active people, or through hugging. Scabies can also be spread by sharing clothing, beddings, and furniture infested with mites. Scabies commonly occurs in people in crowded living conditions, such as those found in prisons, childcare groups, family homes, hospitals, or nursing homes.
Ik ruik niks. Nou ja, gewoon fris. Fris. Ja, fris zoals het is.
Verder niks.
Niks als fris. Niks.
Bam! Lekker dansen!
Wat een leuk feest!
Oh, wat stom.
Bah! Lekker fris!
Bah, wat lekker.
Bah! Bah! Lekker fris! Lekker fris!
Nieuw.
Ga zitten.
Gezellig hier, zeg.
Ja, een beetje zitten janken
hier. Jan uit je mond, dat Jan zo flink bent. Dat Jan zo flink bent. Goh, goh, wat een bing ben je toch.
Ik zal toch mooi naar de politie gaan als ik jou was.
Zet ben je nou helemaal?
Een andere psychopaat.
Ja, ik vind het echt.
Lekker fris.
Als mijn gezichtje niet aanstaat, dan sla ik je wel in elkaar. En als jij niet doet wat ik zeg, nou, dan pak ik mijn hondbakknuppel wel. Het wordt steeds erger. Het wordt alleen maar erger.
Marijuana is not just a harmless hallucinogen that gives a quick, innocent thrill. A United Nations commission concluded, marijuana is not just a harmless hallucinogen that gives a quick, innocent thrill. A United Nations commission concluded, the addict is soon a useless and harmful member of society.
There will be many a times where you are working in an administration and there are very high pressure situations. In my experience, working in the press briefing room where the news cycle is ever changing, it's 24/7. And we
the lyrics and stage show advocate the abuse of drugs and alcohol? The answer is yes. For some time, substance abuse has been a part of rock. The fact that this is not a new issue does not diminish in any way the current seriousness of the problem, especially in light of rock's younger and younger audience. Consider the following. Kevin DeBrow of Quiet Riot said in a recent interview, as far as this drug business goes, I mean, everybody in rock does drugs. The song Party All Night from the band's Condition Critical album says, driving right way on the wrong side, had a bit too much to drink. Women in the back seat, paradise party. I'm on a one-way cruise looking for trouble, party all night. Black Sabbath's last album was called Born Again and included the song Trashed about a fellow who downs bottles of whiskey and tequila, then drives down the road at 105 miles per hour for fun because he's trashed. Def Leppard, who've enjoyed album sales in the millions, sing these words in the song High and Dry. A Saturday, I feel all right. I've been drinking all day. I got my whiskey, got my wine, Saturday night. I'm high.
All night from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. briefing the press secretary, preparing her for the daily briefing, and then 5 minutes before the briefing call, major news breaks, or the president would put out a statement, and it would really...
Dana, we are waging a 21st century information warfare campaign against the left.
and they are using tactics from the 1990s. They are holding tiny press conferences, tiny little rallies.
And has not received a coded, authenticated order itself, it can and will prevent a launch by any one of the others simply by activating a launch inhibit switch. As far as the launch itself is concerned, both controllers must perform simultaneous actions before the final launch sequence can be completed. Physical separation makes it impossible for one person to actuate the system. At the Launch Control Center, tight security measures prevent unauthorized access to the missile complex. No one can enter the area unless he has the proper credentials and is accompanied by at least one other authorized person. Like the other military services, the United States Air Force is continuing its all-out effort to keep our nuclear weapon system safe through design features, safety studies and surveys, continuing engineering analyses, a human reliability program,
De hele jeugd van Amsterdam tussen 3 en 10 stond langs de weg om Sint-Nicolaas te zien en zijn 80 zwarte pieten, die het dit jaar een stuk zwaarder hadden dan anders vanwege het alternatieve snoepgoed. Want op verzoek van ziekenfondsen en tandartsen waren er ditmaal geen pepernoten en suikergoed, maar werden aan de kinderen in totaal 20.000 kilo appelen uitgereikt. Nu is het algemeen bekend dat je in de hoofdstad van de straat kunt eten, en dus werden ze gegeten. Sinterklaas kon het niet helpen dat er ondanks de grote voorraden toch nog meer kindertjes bleken te zijn dan appels.
You believe me? You have to believe me.
It could happen any time. Jesus said that the end would come like a thief in the night.
And you're forgetting the most important aspect of eschatology. That when the end comes, with it comes eternal life for those of us who are saved.
Well, who'll be saved, Reverend? I mean, the Jew doesn't think it's going to be the Muslim. And the Muslim doesn't think it's going to be the Christian. The Christian doesn't think it's going to be the Buddhist. So, what if nobody is saved? What if we're all wrong?
What? My God. What if it's just the Hare Krishnas?
What about the sixth?
It begins with the sun turning to darkness. Then the earth will quake, and the stars shall fall from the sky. The horseman still rides. The angels have unleashed the winds from the corners of the earth. Will you die for him?
There's nothing you can do. You can't stop it.
Cursed to live. Never die. Not until it was time for the world to die.
The Roman soldier who was
cursed to walk the earth until the Messiah returned. Cursed to live. Never die. Not until it was time for the world to die.
You won't stop an earthquake.
The fourth horseman still rides. The fourth horseman still rides.
The angels have unleashed the winds from the corners of the earth.
Will you die for him?
Crystal. Never die, not until it was time for the world to die. That's how it's been 2,000 years. For me, there's been no escape from my misery.
Stop swearing. Yeah, you can do it. Now, I know from experience because I used to curse like a sailor. I was really, really bad. And here I am with a sailor's cursing mouth. I gotta stop this. I don't curse. I don't think that you have to drop an F-bomb to be cool in front of people. So let's teach you how to stop swearing in 5 simple steps. You need to do better planning. So, what does that mean? Well, all right. So believe it or not, I started saying the word sugar shack all the time. I don't know why, it just came to my mind when I wanted to swear. You can do it. Plan and prepare. No excuses. If I see you cursing or swearing, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Also, positive social support. That's pillar number three, positive social support. And so I told the world, I told everybody on my email list, 150,000 people, I said, I quit swearing. I'm going to stop swearing today.
We are almost certainly all that is left, the sole survivors, 855 men and 8 women. We have supplies to last us for 2 years at the present levels of consumption. But we must work together, pooling our scientific knowledge so we can survive until the virus dies out. And that is the purpose of this meeting, to devise a plan to enable us to deal with our present situation.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Erectile Dysfunction, also known as ED. Erectile dysfunction means that a man cannot achieve or maintain a sufficient erection for sexual intercourse. This can be temporary or chronic, and can have various reasons behind it, such as reduced sexual desire. If your interest in sex has decreased, or if you're experiencing less arousal, it could also be a symptom of ED. Now let's discuss how erectile dysfunction can be dealt with in a relationship. It's a sensitive topic and communication is crucial. Have an open conversation with your partner. Explain to them that it's a common issue and a solution can be found together. Create a supportive environment where both of you feel emotionally connected. Support your partner and seek professional help if needed, such as counseling or therapy. This will strengthen your understanding and bond as a couple. Now let's talk about how to treat erectile dysfunction naturally.
Flying saucers have invaded our planet. Washington, London, Paris, Moscow are key targets. The whole world is under attack. Can it survive?
Survivors of a disintegrated solar system. At this moment, the remainder of our fleet is surrounded.
Miss Callum.
Arrange for your world leaders.
I tell you, don't find them. Nein, sie geht zum Eis, gib sie hier. Schenk, gebiet was dann. Sie mich feuern, wenn Sie das wollen. Aber Sie bringen keine illegalen Drogen in mein Labor. Warum gibt es Verbrechen?
Eine gute Frage. Aus welchem Grund nehmen Menschen Drogen?
Weil die Drogen wollen. Wir machen ja schließlich keine Reklame dafür. Und wir geben auch keine Anzeigen auf, wie für Zigaretten oder Schnaps.
Glauben Sie auch, dass das der Punkt ist?
Ja, das ist doch der Punkt.
Was für eine Scheiße ist das denn? Out here! Out here! Oh, wow!
Flying saucers level half a mile. Leveled by flying saucer monster.
What? Well, I could quote him. Tracy, he gave me every word in verse 1, every word in verse 2, every word in verse 3, and did not miss a verse. Yet he says, like most of the young people today, I do not buy the music for the lyrics. I buy the music for the beat.
Albert Long is not only concerned with the lyrics on some of today's albums, but also with their packaging. He suggests satanic symbolism on several of today's albums. Dr. J.O. Williams, who's been involved in youth ministry for the past 20 years, is very knowledgeable on biblical symbolism.
And there are certain symbols here, negative symbols, that I think are very dangerous that people need to be aware of. Now let's begin with an album by a group that is pretty notorious, the group called Kiss. Now, number one, you would see that certain parts of the men's uniforms all accentuate the genitals of a male. I just have to be very explicit here. Psychologically speaking, these are phallic symbols or an emphasis on the genitals of the male.
During the past decade, an epidemic of ritual crime has swept our nation at an alarming rate.
law-abiding citizens report satanic crimes in every state, and the number of cases investigated by police continues to rise.
With your treachery, you shine
well off. Organized satanic groups are creating a rain of death and destruction which cannot be ignored.
Total world domination!
Subliminal mind
control!
He's trying to brainwash all of you!
Subliminal mind control!
Subliminal mind control!
This is Russia. Delicious cuisine. Beautiful women. Cheap gas. Rich history. World famous literature. Unique architecture. Fertile soil. Cheap electricity and water. Ballet. Cheap taxi and delivery. Traditional values. Christianity. No cancel culture. Hospitality. Vodka. Economy that can withstand thousands of sanctions. Time to move to Russia. Don't delay. Winter is coming.
You're full of shit.
You antichrist, heathen, Jew devil. You watch yourself, boy.
That book he's holding up, it's a fourth-rate novel about some patriots who use terrorism to overthrow the government. It's kind of an American Mein Kampf. I've got a copy for each of you.
Sounds like my kind of reading.
Yeah, well, to these boys, it might as well be the Bible.
What do they plan to do with all this stuff?
Get rid of their enemies. What else?
I mean, that legally makes it a conspiracy.
Carolina, they're all over the place.
Tell the government how to run things? You think those guys sitting behind big desks in Washington, D.C. are going to be hopping and jumping just because we holler?
I tell you something, Evan, they better start hopping and jumping, because these Nazis are going to be rounding them up if they don't.
These guys are so far right, they call the United States government Zog.
Zionist Occupation Government.
Now, they can't wait to start executing the congressmen and the federal judges and the blacks and liberal Jews, anybody else who gets in their way.
Are there any Nazis out there? Well, baby, I'm a Jew, and I'd like to talk to you. Tell you just what I think of you. So give me a call.
Don't talk to me about conspiracy theories, Morse.
This is going on right now. We're talking about an underground war right here.
We have our own information.
Their goal is the overthrow of the United States government. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Ik ben ongelooflijk tevreden. Daar ben ik heel blij mee.
An accident in California.
Less two accidents in 1 week.
Who's putting the lid on this? The police?
A recording from a stranger.
Get on the ride, Harry.
A drop in Virginia.
Harry.
Yeah.
Remember what happens when you don't follow directions.
And a man in the middle on the ride of his life.
They're over the lift. It's too late to stop them now. Let's go.
200 fathoms beneath the sea, nuclear submarines. The gray ladies of the U.S. fleet patrol the oceans of the world. 60 miles off the New England coast, the USS Neptune is almost home.
Captain, we got a contact at 315 degrees, 3,000 yards on course 270. That's a collision course with us.
Captain, he's...
I know. Helm, bridge. Right full rudder, all ahead full. Sound the danger signal.
Aye, Captain.
Try to get her leveled off.
Fathometer's reading a ledge or something.
How deep?
I can't tell, sir. We're sinking too fast.
1,300.
Beast is at it. Foulest spear of a beast. Foulest spear of a beast.
Your name, give me any call, McMahon.
Beast is at it. Foulest spear of a beast.
All homosexuals would be destroyed in the United States by fire.
We're building an ark like the Ark to Triumph, and we're building it by the Arlington Bridge, the Arlington Cemetery, opposite the Lincoln Memorial. You could say Jefferson, Washington, everything, because they're all right there. And it's something that is so special. It will be like the one in Paris, but to be honest with you, it blows it away. Blows it away in every way. It's the only city in the world that's of great importance that doesn't have a triumphal arch. You know what that is. And this one is going to blow them all away. The one that people know mostly is the Arc de Triomphe in Paris, France. And we're going to top it by, I think, a lot.
Flying saucers have invaded our planet.
Come on, step on it. Search every tunnel. We got to find an all-in kill. The girl, get the thing. We'll get back here on the double.
Very soon, the most horrifying monster menace ever conceived will be oozing into...
A non-revolutionary or a counter-revolutionary. The intellectuals often tend to be subjective and individualistic, impractical in their thinking and irresolute in action until they have thrown themselves heart and soul into mass revolutionary struggles or made up their minds to serve the interests of the masses and become one with them. Hence, although the mass of revolutionary intellectuals in China can play a vanguard role or serve as a link with the masses, not all of them will remain revolutionaries to the end. Some will drop out of the revolutionary ranks at critical moments and become passive, while a few may even become enemies of the revolution. The intellectuals can overcome their shortcomings only in mass struggles over a long period. You can't solve a problem. Well, get down and investigate the present facts and its past history. When you've investigated the problem thoroughly, you will know how to solve it. Conclusions invariably come after investigation, not before. Only a blockhead cudgels his brains on his own, or together with a group to find a solution or evolve an idea without making any investigation. It must be stressed that this cannot possibly lead to any effective solution or any good idea. Youth, the world is yours as well as ours, but in the last analysis, it is yours. You young people, full of vigor and vitality, are in the bloom of life, like the sun at 8 or 9 in the morning. Our hope is placed on you.
In the name of Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, I arise to establish my legal right and dominion over this region.
Teenagers
see it first. Territory that you have given me jurisdictional authority. According to Daniel 9 and 4, you are the only great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love you and to them that keep your commandments. I appeal to the God who said in 2 Chronicles 7, 13 to 16, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence amongst my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins.
I know that when they get me, but don't let anyone see me like that.
The boy possessed, appealing, the girl who loves him, unforgettable, the scientist maddened by the mystery of the werewolf, and
I declare that this place is sanctified. I present my body as a living sacrifice by the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Panic penetrates every home when this strange unknown killer hits down. Taking hold of the teenage crowd, coloring their practical jokes with hysterical humor that'll make you fall flat on your face with horror.
Remember how wonderful it was when you sprang suddenly dug into the face, all from the gush of warm blood?
No! Nothing you've ever seen has such blood-chilling savagery. Nothing you've ever conceived packs such a spine-tingling jolt. This high school boy, a teenage werewolf. A constant threat of claw-ripping attack to everyone, to the brave and the beautiful.
New levels, new dimensions, new lines, and territory. Let there be a breakthrough in the heavens. I tap into apostolic and prophetic veins. I shatter glass ceilings. I smash spiritual bars and iron membranes. I declare a breakthrough atmosphere is established. I recalibrate the spiritual climate and decree that every bit of lukewarmness must be replaced with the fire and the zeal of God. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost and the fire. Let there be fire in my mouth as I advance in my
life. Vermeten of onwetende, weet dan dit. Wie ogen heeft, die horen. Dit is geen uitzending van de glorie der mensheid. Er staat geschreven dat deze woorden gesproken worden.
Motherfucker, motherfucker,
I am the... Yeah!
I'm the kind of guy with a twisted soul. No moral compass, just a gaping hole. New Year's resolution, steal your girl. Break her heart and burn down the world. I am the motherfucker, king of the scene. Living life dirty, living life mean. Stealing, cheating, drinking all night. I am the motherfucker, ready for a fight. I'll screw over my best friend without a second thought. For personal gain, every lesson self-taught. Snorting coke off a hooker's tits. Then home to my girl, slap her with my dick. I am the motherfucker, king of the scene. Living life dirty, living life mean. Stealing, cheating, drinking all night. I am the motherfucker, ready for a pipe. No care for others, just number one. In this twisted game, I'm having fun. I'll steal, I'll drink, I'll take the drugs. Living like a king, no need for hugs. Wrecking lives, causing pain, it's all the same. In the game of life, I play without shame. Cashing in on trust, breaking every bond. While the world drowns, I smile and respond. I am the motherfucker, king of the scene. Living life dirty, living life mean. Stealing, cheating, drinking all night. I am the motherfucker ready for a fight. Cheating on my taxes, lying to my boss. Every step I take, I'm counting no loss. In the shadows I lurk, in the dark I thrive. In a sea of filth, I feel alive. I am the motherfucker, king of the scene. Living life dirty, living life mean. Stealing, cheating, drinking all night. I am the motherfucker, ready for a fight. I'll seduce your sister, betray your bro. When it comes to sins, I put on a show. No remorse, no regrets, no looking back. In this race of life, I run on a separate track. I'm the venom in the cup, the snake in the grass. When you least expect, I'll make my pass. No rules, no boundaries, just my way. In the game of destruction, I always play. I am the motherfucker, king of the scene. Living life dirty, living life mean. Stealing, cheating, drinking all night. I am the motherfucker, ready for a fight. So raise a glass to the scum of the earth. For in this dark world I found my worth. I am the motherfucker and I reign supreme. In this nightmare I'm living the dream. Oh, and I just fucked your mother.
We interrupt our normal program to cooperate in civil defense measures as requested by the government. This is a radio alert. Normal broadcasting will now be discontinued for an indefinite period. Civil defense information will be broadcast in most areas on your regular radio receiver. I repeat, normal broadcasting will be discontinued for an indefinite period. Civil defense information will be broadcast in most areas on your regular radio receiver.
Son,
dan is de tijd rijp
voor de glorie der mensheid.
Van grootheid, roem en kracht. Van macht en van gerechtigheid. Voorwaarts met
de glorie der mensheid.
Die met ons zal zijn, zoals hij ook met en bij onze vaderen was. Voorwaarts. Zijn oder niet zijn, heeft Wilhelm gezegd. Leven of dood.
Er komt een dag na elke nacht. Voorbij trekt iedere wolk. Ik zie hoe het eerste morgenlicht door het hoge venster draalt. De glorie der mensheid maakt mij het sterven licht. En zo ik heb gefaald, gelijk een elk wel falen kan, schenk mij dan uw genade. Opdat ik heen ga als een man, als ik voor de lopen sta.
Als u na het schokkende programma behoefte aan hebt om met iemand te praten, bel dan gerust dit nummer 035 83 88.
Gaat en onderwijst alle volken.
Don't you cut off your dreadlocks. Samson was a dreadlock. So Delilah betrayed. Let it go, Rasta.
Airing on Asheville FM, 103.3 LPFM in Asheville, this is The Final Straw Radio, a weekly anarchist and anti-authoritarian broadcasts and podcast emanating out of occupied Chalagie land in southern Appalachia. We bring you voices and perspectives from projects and struggles all around the world, and you can find our archives, transcripts, ways to follow us and support us at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org. Our guest, Leila El-Shami, was the co-author of Burning Country, Syrians in Revolution and War, and we had her on The Final Straw in 2020 to speak about some of the background of the Syrian Revolution, repression, and civil war in that country. She's Syrian-British activist and journalist based in the UK and is part of the From Peripheries Media Collective. I'm excited to have her back on to share some assessments of the current situation in Syria, nearly 1 year since the ousting of Bashar al-Assad's regime, whose family had headed the ruling back Party from 1970 until December of 2024. Leila, I wonder if you'd care to introduce yourself further, and thank you for coming onto the show.
Hi, thank you very much for having me. It's good to be back after such a long time, and things have rapidly changed in Syria since we last spoke, so I'm looking forward to getting into it.
So what else can you say, or what can you say about the transitional government under the rule of Ahmed Hussein al-Sharaa? What degree of popular consent is there to that rule? What is your assessment of the jihadist insurgent leader claiming to have turned moderate statesmen and his backers in the West?
Well, I think I'll start with the second part of that question, which is asking whether Ahmed al-Sharaa has moderated over time, because I think that's the question that a lot of international media focus on. And yeah, he undoubtedly has moderated over time. And this hasn't been overnight with the fall of the regime. It's been a process spanning a decade. You know, we know that he came out of the Islamic State of Iraq, and Al-Qaeda had roots in Al-Qaeda. He was sent to Syria by Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of the Islamic State in Iraq, and he founded Jabhat al-Nusra, which, when it came on the scene, was involved in suicide bombings, killing civilians, was involved in sectarian attacks. And by 2015, it was a powerful force in Syria and started taking up some roles at the state. And when it was doing that, it started to prohibit the mixing of men and women. It imposed like Islamic hudud punishments and public punishments. And it also cracked down a lot on independent local councils that were operating in Idlib and arrested many revolutionary figures, and including assassinating key revolutionary figures like Raed Fares, who was very active in Kafranbel and was a media activist and involved in lots of revolutionary projects. But at some point, Jabhat al-Nusra realized that ISIS levels of brutality were unpopular, and it was responsive in many ways to popular pressure. It broke with the Islamic State in Iraq, which became ISIS, which they fought. Jabhat al-Nusra fought ISIS a lot, and it broke with Al-Qaeda. In 2017, they rebranded as HTS and set up the Salvation Government across Idlib, and really began to focus on service provision and took a very managerial approach to governance rather than ideological. And it broke in many ways with Salafist doctrine. It started to implement much more moderate forms of Islamic jurisprudence, which were much more in line with the local population. The education system remained largely secular, and it managed to gain respect from many Syrians for the stability that it brought to Idlib. And the fact that Idlib managed to develop in that period, even though it was under attack often, but it developed in much more than other parts of the country. I mean, when the regime fell, people from Damascus started traveling to Idlib to go to the big malls there and were astounded that you could use the internet in the street and things like that. It also started building relations with NGOs to help with service provision, the Americans under the first Trump administration, and Turkey, mainly around security issues, fighting against ISIS, etc. So it definitely did moderate. And since it's come to power after the fall of the regime, you know, it's not ruling as a Salafist jihadist government. But for me, the question is not the correct question to ask, because I think the question, which is much more interesting, is whether he is ruling as an authoritarian or as a democrat. You know, this is a guy who gained power through force of arms and declared himself president. There's no real sharing of power. Most of the decisions are being made by militiamen. It's meant to be a transitional government for between 4 to 5 years until elections, and there's very good reasons for that. It will take that time for Syrians to return to the country, to build up political movements and opposition parties. But the question is, to what extent is he consolidating power now? You know, the transitional government has 23 ministers. 9 of them are affiliated to HTS, and the 4 most strategic positions, the Foreign Ministry, Defence Ministry and Ministry of Interior and Minister of Justice, are all held by militiamen close to al-Sharra. But there are some aspects of it which is more positive. You know, he brought in a Kurd as Minister of Education, a Druze as Minister of Agriculture, an Alawi as Transport Minister, and a Christian, Hinka Mawat, who is also the only woman, is the Minister of Social Affairs. And Raed Saleh, who was the much-loved head of the White Helmets in Syria, holds the Ministry for Disaster and Emergencies. There's a question to what extent these appointments, whilst they're positive on the surface, that there's more diversity in the government, are they just tokenistic because the individuals that have been brought in are not really representing any political constituency or political party or movement? They're just there because they are a Kurd or they are a Christian. So, you know, there's been things that haven't gone so well. There was meant to be a national dialogue conference. This happened early on after the fall of the regime. I think it was in February or March. But there was only one day of discussion on like key issues relating to the future of Syria. There was no participation from the SDF or the Autonomous Administration, which represents Kurds in the north. Many people could not participate because the conference was announced 2 days before, so important political figures from exile couldn't return to the country. Also, the constitution was drafted without any meaningful participation, and that's something that's angered a lot of people. And whilst it does have some good clauses, like it protects the rights of women and freedom of belief and protects linguistic and cultural rights for minorities, it's all power is given to the presidency, basically. There's also been no law on the formation of political parties, and that's a key issue because Syrians need to organise an opposition now, and it was announced that a law on the formation of political parties would happen, but until now it hasn't. So I think this is the key question, really. To what extent is al-Sharra consolidating power, or to what extent is he going to allow more political participation and a transition to a democratic civilian-run system, which is what the majority of Syrians want? But you asked about popular consent, and you know, overall, al-Sharra is very popular with the majority of the Syrian population. So, you know, that there's obviously, and we're going to come into it, certain constituencies which are very fearful of the new government. But there's also a big part of the population which is very supportive of the moves that he's taken since he's been in power.
Thank you for that. And to move back to the creation of political parties or like the culture around that, it seems like it would have been difficult, like not to say that people weren't organizing around political ideas and attempting to make change in that venue during that period of time, the 54 years of rule by just that iteration of the Ba'athist Party under the Assad family. But it seems like there's a lot probably between all the displacement, the new generations that have come up under the war or under the Ba'athist regime, that there has to kind of be some creation of the culture of political parties and sort of a finding of a new road towards that multilateralism in Syria, no?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, under the Assad regime for like 5 decades, the whole political society was like totally repressed. Nobody could form independent parties or movements. Anyone who tried to was arrested and imprisoned. And then, of course, over the past decade of the counter-revolutionary war, civil society activists and political democrats in particular were arrested and imprisoned, and many of them died under torture, as you've seen the horrific specific scenes from Sednaya prison and places like that. So the political culture has been completely destroyed in Syria, and it's rebuilding from ground zero, really. And the question at this moment is there an alternative to Ahmed al-Sharr? And there isn't really on the political level. I mean, the alternative is other militias, and militias are, a lot of the militias are quite radical and extreme in Syria. So my main concern is whether the political space will stay open over the next four-year period so people can really start to organise and build political movements and build a political culture and go forward to achieve the democracy and social justice that they've sacrificed so much for.
So just kind of going through some points from this year that I noticed when I was trying to prepare for this conversation. In March of this year, HTS-aligned militia and the Syrian state forces conducted massacres of Alawites, an ethno-religious minority to which the al-Assad family belongs, during clashes in western Syria, killing some 1,500 and leading to the exodus of possibly some 13,000 Alawites seeking safety across the border in Lebanon. This follows the burning of a public Christmas tree in Damascus and an attack last year, and an attack and arson on the Alawite shrine of Al-Kasibi, in which government-aligned militia partook. Can you talk about the current philosophy behind HTS and what it bodes for the rights of religious or ethnic minorities and other parts of Syrian society, often marginalized by conservative religious and governance models? You mentioned that there is in this new constitution the protection of freedom of beliefs for various people. So, yeah, I guess moving from there, if you would.
Yeah, I think minority groups are very fearful because